I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're reporting for duty. Father Charles Murr is filling in for Jesse today. Father Murr, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you very much.
Father Murr, we're going to have a great show because it's going to be informative. Not only are you going to be reading the gospel and giving some commentary, we've got the feast day of St. Maximian Kolbe. We've got a bishop coming to an interview, Bishop Stephen Lopes from the Anglican Ordinariate down in Texas, was visiting our chapel here and confirming people last weekend. So I got a nice interview to talk about the work they're doing. And then also I have his instructor. His college instructor, John Galton from the Knights of the Immaculata, followed up with an interview after the bishop's interview. So we're going to have a lot of fun. And then Father Murr's going to talk, giving us time, we're going to talk about the dangers of the canceling culture. In other words, these statues that are being knocked down, history being revised. What's the problem with that? Father George Rutler put together a nice article that Father Murr has a lot to talk about. Also, I want to announce something that I haven't done, but there's a debate. Are you ready for this? How would you like to have Scott Hahn, Father Mitch Pacwa, Father Benedict Groeschel, and Scott Hahn debating four Protestant high-powered ministers? Well, we did that back in the 90s at St. Joseph Communications, and I'm going to re-release that September 12th, 2020 at 9 a.m. We're going to do this on YouTube and on our app. It's called The Ultimate Challenge, and it does a really good job explaining the different teachings of our Catholic faith in answering the objections. I call it The Ultimate Challenge. Also, Jesse Romero has a bonus a talk on how the apologetics brought him back to the Catholic faith. If you haven't heard that, that's worth it also. And that's going to happen in September. It's on our website. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Also, just a quick note for those in Southern California, on August 15th, tomorrow, Saturday, at the Heritage Park in Covina, the Catholic Men's Fellowship will be there to pray the rosary from 4:30 to 6. Bring your family. We'd love to see you that. You can go to Catholic Men's Fellowship of California for more information on that. But before we get into all the issues of the day, we always take the scripture, the gospel of the daily mass readings, and I ask Father Murr not only to proclaim it when he reads the gospel, but I'd like to get his comments. And then when we bring Bishop Sheen in, he has a special friend alongside him on that train, and you'll be surprised who came with Bishop Sheen. So, Father Murr, could you please read the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 3 to 12?
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some Pharisees approached Jesus to test him and asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason?" Jesus said in reply, "Have you not read that from the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh'? So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no man may separate." They said to him, "Then why did Moses command that a man give the woman a bill of divorce and dismiss her?" Jesus answered, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, and marries another, commits adultery. His disciples said to him, if that is the case of a man with his wife, is it better not to marry? He answered, not all can accept this, but only those to whom it has been granted. Some are incapable of marriage because they were born so, some because they were made so by others, some because they have renounced marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Whoever can accept this ought to accept it. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. That's powerful.
Terry, yes. Is that clear enough for you?
Oh, yeah. It does. There's no ambiguity here, Father, especially in our culture. Share a little bit about what Jesus is teaching and how it applies to us, especially in the 21st century.
Well, I think it's summed up, that question you just asked, I think it's summed up in the very charge that the Pharisees put to Jesus. Now, keep in mind, these are the doctors of the law. These are the lawyers of the day. These are the Sharia lawyers of the day, the religious lawyers. And they have no idea who they're talking to, right? Because they wouldn't dare propose a question to Christ Jesus if they knew that he was the Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity.
Right.
Their law and their question is more important than Jesus is. This is where they're coming from, right?
Yes.
So here's the thing. They said, well, if you can't get divorced, because Christ is saying you cannot get divorced. It's real simple. It's quite simple. He's not prancing around the question. He says, from the beginning, it wasn't so.
Right.
Whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Mm-hmm. We know those words.
Yes.
And they said to him, well, then why did Moses, listen to the verb, listen to the verb here. Mm-hmm. Then why did Moses command that the man give the woman a bill of divorce and dismiss her? Command is
yes.
the verb.
Yes.
Our Lord answers him, because of the harshness of your hearts, Moses allowed is the verb,
right,
you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. The Pharisees, the lawyers, are already taking, this is a command.
Yes.
This is a command of God to divorce your wives, right? And he's like, no, God didn't command that. He permitted it because your hearts were so hard, they were impenetrable.
Right.
But from the beginning, it wasn't this way. And I'm telling you, from now on, it's not going to be this way. From now on, we're going back to the beginning. This is what Christ is saying.
Yes.
Any man, listen to this clearly, any man who divorces his wife, except the marriage be unlawful, right? Which is what we're saying for example, in annulment.
Exactly. I'm glad you made that point.
There's something unlawful. There's something wrong with
never
the marriage.
Never took place, yep.
All right? Except for that, any man who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. Boom. Now, listen, he didn't say any man who divorces his wife or any wife who divorces her husband commits adultery. He said anyone who divorces and marries someone else.
Exactly.
This is the point.
Yeah.
So often as a priest, I'm asked by people, and they mean it sincerely. They're saying, well, I guess I can't receive the sacraments anymore because I'm divorced.
No,
it's not that. It's marrying someone else civilly.
Exactly.
That or living with somebody else. That's the sin. It's not the divorce.
That's
all right.
The
adultery comes in when you're with somebody else that you promised, after you promised to remain faithful to another person, right?
Right.
And then our Lord goes on, and then his disciples. I love that these are the 12 apostles included in the disciples. Well, if that's the way things are, isn't it better not to marry at all? I mean, like, why even get married?
Yeah.
Why even bother? And our Lord answers them with calm. And he says, not everybody can accept not getting married,
right,
except those to whom it's been granted. In other words, except to those who were called and given the grace for it. Because it's not easy. I'm telling you as a priest,
sure,
it's not always easy. It's right. Not always easy to be alone.
Right.
It's a challenge, right?
Sure.
But some are incapable of marriage because they were born so.
Yeah.
Right?
Got it.
Some were made so by others. And what he's talking about here are eunuchs.
Yep, castration.
Because
yep.
There was in the slave trade and,
yep.
and in the slave situation that they were all in, it was very common to make eunuchs.
Yep.
So you wouldn't have any problems of anybody's infidelity.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
All right. And also, I'm not going to get into detail, but for the same reason, I'm laughing because I'm remembering Father George Rutler asked me to explain to him one time years ago,
yeah,
the difference between bulls and oxen.
Oh, that's funny.
He didn't know for all of his knowledge, and it was
yes.
He said for all of it. He said I never understood the difference. Well, I explained the difference,
yeah.
And if your listeners want to, they can look it up themselves.
Yeah.
Anyway, the difference made the workers, the eunuchs, stronger.
Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely.
Right, they were done to, they renounced, but he said there's another group of people who renounce marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. Father Murr, that's great commentary. We got a break and we come back. Father Bishop Stephen Lopes will be with us on an interview about the great work they're doing. And after that, John Galton will join us for the Knights of the Immaculata. We got much more. Stay tuned. Don't turn the dial. And like us on Facebook and tell your friends to join us at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be right back. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love. According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I have the honor of introducing Bishop Stephen Lopes. He is the Bishop of the Anglican Ordinariate And I asked him to come in because we're having a special mass here at the Our Lady of Grace Parish in Covina. He just did a confirmation. Bishop Lopes, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Tell us, what the heck is the Anglican Ordinariate? People keep asking me all the time, so who better to ask than you?
Well, the Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter, first of all, isn't Anglican. It's Roman Catholic.
Thank you for setting me straight.
So, but, you know, nobody really knows what an Ordinariate is. No one, well, not enough people know what the Chair of St. Peter is. You put the two things together, we get a really long name. So I think people are looking for shorthand. But our diocese, the Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter, is a diocese of the Catholic Church. It's in North America, all of North America, so it's not tied to a specific place like Los Angeles or Orange County or San Diego. But wherever our communities are, and these are communities who were Anglican, who have come into the full communion of the Catholic Church in a way, corporately, as we would say, in a way that, you know, the community comes in, other people join them, but they are able to preserve some of the way they pray, some of the way they worship, some of the way they study, the way they organize parish life. And whenever these, wherever these communities are, that's our diocese.
What's attracted me is the reverence we have for the liturgy. I've been going for a year and a half, Bishop. And it's just really beautiful the way we receive Holy Communion, kneeling and on the tongue. But I get people who ask me constantly, what's the story about many of your priests in the order are married? How does that work?
Well, you know, it was a thing that was begun really by Pope Pius XII. So this goes back, you know.
Wow, way back.
Way back into the 1950s when Protestant clergy had come to the conviction of faith that they needed to become Catholic. They needed to embrace the fullness of the truth in the Catholic Church. But they had usually ministered for decades, you know, and fruitfully as Protestant ministers. And so because of that, you know, again, trying to read the signs of the time, seeing the working of the Holy Spirit that brought that minister to that point, Pope Pius and then several others said, well, no, obviously God was at work somehow there. And so there was a dispensation from clerical celibacy for that man to be ordained a Catholic priest. Pope John Paul II in 1982 formalizes this in something called the Pastoral Provision. You may know Father Jack Barker, who helps around. He was one of the pioneers of the Pastoral Provision. And the same kind of thing. Pope St. John Paul formalizes the process, formalizes the formation. And between 1982 and 2002, you know, roughly in those 20 years, we had 100 such priests enter the Catholic Church and receive permission to be ordained, even though they were married. So when the Ordinariate came into being, 2009, with the Apostolic Constitution, Anglicanorum Chaetibus, Anglican in Latin, that sounds great, right? It continued that, understanding that these were the priests who brought their communities into the Catholic Church, you know. And so one of the things that Pope Benedict was very keen on was preserving the relationship between the pastor and his people. And so there is this rather generous disposition to ordain these men Catholic priests, but they're Catholic.
Got it.
Which means our seminarians, for example.
That's where I'm going. What about them?
Our seminarians are seminarians, and they're Catholic seminarians, so they embrace clerical celibacy.
Right, so they can't get married.
No.
That's what I wanted to clarify.
So that, yeah, it's a transition thing, kind of a thing, yeah.
Now, my other question for those who are listening here in Southern California, we do have an active parish here at Our Lady of Grace.
Yep.
We have on Saturday confessions at 3 o'clock up to the 5 o'clock vigil mass on Saturdays, and then on Sunday mornings, Father comes early, a little before 8 a.m., to hear confessions again before the 9 a.m. Mass. And I want to welcome anyone listening in Southern California to come. We welcome you.
Yep.
And I guarantee you this, that you will come to Mass and you'll know that it's a beautiful experience, very sacred. The music is sacred. Everything's sacred about the Mass. And I just want to encourage all of our listeners to come at least to try and see what the Mass there is about. And Bishop Lopes, I have another question regarding the relationship that Archbishop Gomez, because people ask me this question too.
Sure.
He is the Archbishop of Los Angeles.
Correct.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you are the bishop of the parish here at Our Lady of Grace, and the parish has mass because of you're under your bishop. In other words, we're not under, per se, Archbishop Gomez. That's a Latin
mass. So, yeah, it's one of these things. It's a strange canonical relationship. Okay. But, yes, so we have four parishes in Southern California. Here in Covina, St. John Henry Newman in Irvine, Holy Martyrs of England and Wales in Murrieta, and St. Augustine of Canterbury in San Diego, though they're kind of COVID shut down right now, you know. Okay. But those are parishes of my diocese. We exist in the Diocese of Archdiocese of Los Angeles, the Diocese of Orange, the Diocese of San Bernardino, the Diocese of San Diego. We have a really warm and wonderful relationship with these dioceses, but they are separate jurisdictions.
Yeah. When I mentioned the Mass is very reverent, can you give us a little history of where the liturgy comes from?
Sure. You'll notice that the Mass, you'll recognize it immediately at Mass, as Mass.
Yes.
But there are several things that come out of the Anglican or the English experience of Christianity, and certainly the language, a more sacral way of speaking English, certain prayers that come, they actually predate Anglicanism. They're from the Sarum usage.
Like around the 1500s?
Oh, before that. Sarum is before that.
Oh, I didn't
realize 300 years before that.
Okay.
But then in the Anglican usage, yes. I mean, it was a reform. You know, and it, you can see certain elements of it in our Mass. For example, the penitential rite. You know, we're used to that at the beginning of Mass.
Exactly.
We're in the ordinariate liturgy, the penitential rite is right there before the offertory.
Got it.
Because that idea that the preaching of the gospel is what gets you to confess your sins. There's a corporate prayer of preparation, the so-called prayer of humble access right before communion, a general thanksgiving prayer after communion that the priests and the people say together. These were original compositions. These were part of what Anglicanism brought within the context, though, of the Mass. It was the Mass that was celebrated in England in the middle of the 16th century that becomes the what holds all of this together.
Bishop Lopes, I also understand going to Mass. I noticed there's like there's a similar connection with the Trinitine Mass in the sense of that last gospel. Can you share a little bit about that?
So the when you look at the reform of our liturgy, it's a reform that takes place in the 16th century, essentially.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, there are certain elements, yes, that are similar to the extraordinary form because it's dealing with the same liturgical sources. You know, there's a lot of people who look at us and say, oh, you know, you're the Latin Mass in English. Well,
I've heard that.
Actually, our Mass, because of, you know, 1549 Book of Common Prayer, which is the basis of our liturgy, is about 50 years older than the Missal of Pius V.
Hilarious.
So there you go. But we're drawing from the same sources. So this is simply what Mass looked like then. And in a lot of, not just Anglican actually, but in a lot of Protestant communities that still celebrate the Eucharist, that style of liturgical ceremony still predominates. If you go to some Presbyterian and Lutheran and Methodist churches that have an altar, that altar will be eastward facing, you know.
Wow, interesting. I want our listeners to support prayerfully and financially the Ordinariate. Bishop, where can they send donations? Can they go to a website to find out more? But I really would encourage them to support you.
Well, and you know, I would just say because God is gracious and merciful, He has raised up vocations of the priesthood in the Ordinariate.
Wow!
So when I began as bishop, we had zero seminarians. We've just, you know, and I'm in year five. We have just ordained two that have come all the way through the seminary. We have five more seminarians,
wow.
But you know how what the care and feeding of seminarians is not cheap.
No, I bet it isn't.
So,
is there a fund that we can?
There sure is, and all that information is on our website, ordinariate.net.
Great. Well, Bishop Lopes, I appreciate you coming in here at the Terry and Jesse Show, and we just thank you for allowing, Virgin Most Powerful Radio here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, which is now our Lady of Grace Parish, to participate on the weekends at Mass, and I would encourage all of our listeners to come because I think you'll find an experience that's very, very positive and rewarding. So I want to thank you again for joining us here.
Thank you so much for the invitation. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I found that fascinating myself. And again, we have about 150 people coming to Mass on Sundays and about 90 people on Saturday's Vigil Mass. And if we need more Masses, the priest will say more Masses. So I would encourage people to come. Father Murr, what do you know about the Bishop Lopes and the work they're doing with the Anglican Ordinariate?
I followed it almost from the beginning they were doing, because I thought it was very interesting, because just as you had mentioned in that interview, I took the liturgy
that
they were proposing as almost the Latin Mass in English.
Yeah, that's what I say a lot. Yep.
Technically, we're wrong.
I know. Technically, we are. But for the common Joe, they get that.
In the spirit of the law, we're right on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what I thought was magnificent about it, and continue to think what's magnificent about it, is every time I've attended a few of the masses. First of all, they're a beautiful expression of liturgy. You understand what we've lost.
Yes.
We've lost. And that is that the Mass is addressing God.
Yes, well said.
That the mass is about worship,
not man.
God.
Yeah, not man.
It's not man. It's about God, and the direction of the mass that way certainly conveys that idea, and it gives you it's inspiring. And first of all, it's inspiring. It's beautiful. First of all, above all of that, it's true.
What's happening,
what's being proclaimed
Absolutely.
Is true.
Absolutely.
All right. It's really a beautiful, beautiful expression of the Catholic faith. And thank God that this was permitted.
Yes.
This whole movement was not only permitted but sanctioned and encouraged.
Right.
By Rome. It's beautiful.
You bet.
Beautiful. I think we have a lot to learn from it.
Sure.
Put it that way.
And you know, Father, we've grown from about 12 people down to a couple hundred people coming to the Mass. So I want to invite people to come. I want to see if I can get this little short homily in that one great saint priest did. A friend of mine, priest, told me about one particular priest he had in mind. He gave a shortest homily in the entire history of the Catholic Church. I'm joking. He would point, this saint would point to the tabernacle and exclaim, "Jesus is really there, and if you only knew how much he loves you, you would be the happiest person in the world." And that was it. That was it. That was his homily. Then he would think about the personal love Jesus had for each person in the Blessed Sacrament, and this priest would weep. Now, he couldn't continue to talk. He would return to the altar, finish Holy Mass. He is the one who should be speaking today, not me, this priest told me, because of his short homily. This priest's name was St. John Vianney. He became the patron of all priests. I would encourage you to listen and also read anything on St. John Vianney. When we come back, John Galton from the Knights of the Immaculata. This is St. Maximilian Kolbe's feast day. We're going to talk about some organization he started called the Knights of the Immaculata, which I'm a member of. We'll be right back. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murrow sitting in for Jesse Romero. And I have my good friend, John Galton from the Knights of the Immaculata. And I've been a member for the Knights of Immaculata since 1978. And today's the feast of St. Maximian Kolbe. And John is going to share a little bit about a movie. John, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Thank you very much, Terry.
God bless you, John.
I'm happy to be on it.
We're happy to have you, brother. And, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot. I understand that you and your faithful bride will be married 59 years in this coming February. So, first of all, my hat goes off to you, because anybody who can stay married for that long, you must be doing something right, brother. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much, Terry. It's been the joy of my life.
You bet. John, we're talking about St. Maximian Kolbe. We didn't get a chance to take a little bit on who he was and what he did, but we know that he died in Auschwitz in 1941, giving his life up for a family man. Isn't that interesting with the readings we had today at Holy Mass on marriage and divorce, that St. Maximian Kolbe gave his life up for the man who was a married man? And I actually met that man several times, believe it or not. I was at the canonization back in 82. I can't believe that was almost 40 years ago. But, John, it's amazing. John, tell us a little bit about, I know there's a movie that's out. I've watched it yesterday on the MilizieImmaculata.com. People can watch that. But before we get into the Knights and what they do, I want to ask you, give us your testimony, because I know, I'll just tell you mine briefly. In 1978, I consecrated myself to Mary on the 14th of August. Today, 42 years ago. And that's when I started the St. Joseph Communications and the work that I've been doing for 42 years. So she really, I think, was instrumental in getting me really fired up about my Catholic faith. And so that's my little story with Lighthouse Catholic Media and much more. We have all of our employees, when we started, all were consecrated to the Blessed Mother. It was part of what we do when you come to work for us. We all want people to be consecrated. But, John, what about your own life? Tell us a little bit how the Blessed Mother, through the Knights of the Immaculata, really, affected you and your wife and family.
Well, Terry, it's a long story, and I'll try to keep it as short as possible, because it's kind of a long and somewhat twisty road. But when I got back from service in Vietnam, I went to graduate school, and I taught in Catholic high schools beginning in 1968. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I was completely bowled over by the change in our culture.
Yeah.
It was a different America that I returned to after being 5 years overseas. And that was initially very confusing, but I quickly saw that, whoa, we got a battle going here.
Yeah.
Secondly, when I was teaching, I was surprised at the resistance of the students to declare for the faith, you know, to take a stand on the faith. Mm-hmm. So after about 7 years, I had to need a sabbatical, because I was completely exhausted by what I can only term as the fight, fight for the faith. There was confusion. Anyway, I came to a conclusion in my year of sabbatical that the answer to this was really basically to concentrate on two persons, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his mother, our Lady, that those two people had to be promoted.
Makes sense.
In the meantime, the Militia of the Immaculata came out to the West Coast from Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Right.
As you well know, and I think you served there, did you, Terry?
I did.
Yeah, and Tony Ryan brought it out here. He was with Ignatius Press.
Sure.
And I began teaching the students there. And one of the group who was there teaching with me was were some of the Kolbe missionaries who are in the greater Los Angeles area.
That's right, Muscovina.
One of them, Ann O'Donnell, challenged me to make a total consecration to Our Lady according to St. Maximilian.
Yes.
Well, I just said, well, wait a minute. Now, I've been teaching Our Lady. I mean, I've had devotion to Our Lady all my life. I've been defending her in the classroom and everywhere else. And what do I need to do that? Well, anyway, she wisely kind of backed off a little bit. Anyway, then St. Maximilian took over, just began pestering me with that. And the culmination of it was when I was attending a theological conference in Pompeii, Italy. Mm-hmm. The last stop was Naples. Pompeii was across the bay, and I was carrying some heavy suitcases. It was August. It was hot. And I stopped by in a little piazza next to a statue just to get some rest in the shade. And I look up, and it was none other than a statue of St. Maximilian.
I love it.
who left Naples for Japan to start the Knights of the Immaculata there and a Mary town, a city of the Immaculate there. So then I said, okay, I give up St. Maximilian. So I made my consecration.
Awesome.
Because I saw it as the answer to the creeping secularization in the world.
Amen, John. Well, John, tell us now, thank you for your witness, and thank you for saying yes to Our Lady. And I want to know now that the Knights of the Immaculate have put out a short little movie, almost like a explanation of how the Knights started and with testimonies of other people. Tell us about that movie and how people can get it.
Well, you know, we were looking for something, some kind of apostolic outreach to give to people in a kind of a bullion cube to give an idea of who is St. Maximilian. What are the Knights of the Immaculate? Why did he form it? And why does it have relevance today in the post-Vatican II Church? So we found a wonderful young filmmaker by the name of Cliff Aziz who agreed to take on the project. We got a donation for it, miraculously, the exact amount of money that we needed to make the film and have it translate exactly the amount of money.
Oh my God.
Agreed to do it. He's a terrific artist. He's won awards for his films. But anyway, it's a film that portrays, in a nutshell, in a beautiful, creative, artistic way and a very inspiring way, who St. Maximilian was, what are the Knights of the Immaculata, and it shows a whole range of witnessing people, young people, older people, everybody in between, including, I might add, Terry, yourself.
Yes, I found out that when I watched the film.
But anyway, it's a powerful film.
Good.
And I'm sure the Immaculata herself is going to use it to draw people herself that she might deliver them to Jesus.
John, I watched the movie yesterday. I had forgotten, you know, a year or two ago that they did come, the gentleman who put the film together filmed me, and I talked about how St. Maximilian Kolbe touched my soul, and I was moved by by what he did with all the endorsements. But I want to encourage people to watch it. They can go right and watch it right on their computer and see the film, because it is short, sweet, and it really encourages people to entrust their lives to our Blessed Virgin Mary and see what will happen to their lives. It's just beautiful. Father Murray, you're here jumping in. Father, you know John Galton, and you know that John is very articulate when whatever he does. But Father Murr, as a Catholic priest, what experience have you had with the Knights of the Immaculata? Or if you have any questions for John, jump in.
Well, I know John Galton.
Yes,
that's the experience I've had with the Knights, and he's made a good impression.
Absolutely,
a great man, John.
Yes,
and we've met many times. We haven't had a chance to really sit down and talk, but I've known him over the years through Father Fezio and the people at Ignatius Press.
Great.
And he's a magnificent witness
for
a lot of things, and especially this.
Well, let me ask you this. St. Maximilian said there were three stages of life, John, and I have always tell people about that because it really touched me when I was at Marytown. He said that you have your formation of part of your life. In other words, you're learning the faith, your formation. Then your apostolate, whether you're a married man, single man, priest, sister, brother, whatever God's called you to do. And then St. Maximilian Kolbe says the third stage of life is suffering. And I just found that to be like, well, that makes sense. But John, it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but St. Maximilian Kolbe's writings, as Maria was his middle name, and all these writings, they really do have a profound experience with people, because what he's basically saying is when we give ourselves to Our Lady, then our Lord is going to work even more powerful in our life. Is that a fair statement, John?
Oh, there's no question about it, Terry. And she, and the source of all of that, Terry, yeah, is at the foot of the cross. Mm. He's, the Savior is dying, amen, but he has one more great gift to give, and that he points to is St. John, the evangelist, the apostle, and he said, behold your mother, and he says to his mother, woman, behold your son. And St. John stands in for all of us. And yes, so now she is the gift to all of us because she's become our spiritual mother, who intercedes for us, who watches out for us. And it's a wonderful thing to make a special effort to align ourselves with her, put ourselves under her protection, under her guidance, because everything she wills is what God wills.
Amen.
I mean, that's the core of her life. So we're looking for people who want to do something about the new evangelization,
amen,
the church is calling to, and total consecration, and her mission to draw all men to her son is our mission.
John, for people to watch the movie, what do they need to do?
Well, all they need to do is go to our national website, mm-hmm, militiaoftheimmaculata.com. It's on there. You'll see the video. You can just click on it, and it's free to watch.
Awesome. John Galton, keep going. I'm impressed because that movie was powerful. I want all of our listeners to go to that website, militiaoftheimmaculata.com. Is that it, John?
That's it, militiaoftheimmaculata.com. And you know, Terry,
tell me,
I've seen even a couple of cuts of the film before it was done.
Yeah.
Every time I see it, including this morning when I watched it again, it just brought tears to my eyes,
yeah,
because this is something positive that,
yes,
Catholics can do for the new evangelization.
Absolutely, especially giving out miraculous medals, as St. Maximian Kolbe would call them, his silver bullets. John Galton from the Knights of the Immaculata, thank you for joining us here at the Terry and Jesse Show. And I want to recommend everyone to get that movie by just going to their website. And John, thanks for taking the time to join us. We'd love to talk more, but we're going to move to our next topic. And thanks so much for,
sure,
joining us.
God bless you,
God,
Terry.
You.
God bless you, Father Muir. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, John. God bless.
Thanks, John. Father Muir, I love talking about the Knights of the Immaculata because it does encourage people to fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. When we come back, Father Muir, we're going to talk about the dangers of canceling a culture by Father George Rutler's article in Crisis Magazine. Father Muir will join us on this when we come right back. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back.
Leviticus 11:44 says, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy." St. Vincent Pilate said, "You must be holy in the way God asks you to be holy." God does not ask you to be a Trappist monk or a hermit. He wants you to sanctify the world and your everyday life. May God show us the path to holiness and help us to follow it all the days of our life.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr joining us here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. The topic is the danger of counseling the culture. Father George Rutler wrote an article in Crisis Magazine. Father, I can't have everybody read this 4 or 5 page article, but tell us a little bit about your thoughts on what Father Rutler's trying to communicate to us.
Well, let me start off this way.
Yeah.
I know you can't expect everybody to read this article.
No, you can't.
Let me say they should.
Yeah.
They should. If you have the time to read it, you really should, because it's Father Rutler at his best. It's very well written, and it's very humorous. A lot of people don't know that Father Rutler is they certainly know that he's a brilliant orator and a brilliant man. Oxford educated and very well connected with things English and the aristocracy and
yes.
A lot of important people, but I don't think a lot of people know how funny he is.
He has a
fantastic sense of humor, really truly. But in this article, what he's basically saying, and he gives a lot of historical examples of the statues and the artwork that we have all over the cities, all over our museums. He said it's particular. One of the observations that he makes, which I think is great. He said the leftists, the anarchists,
yes,
who were decapitating statues, knocking them down, toppling them, insulting
right.
them, burning them. All right. He said they forgot to look inside of Catholic churches. They were commenting how few women had statues made to them, and it was so unfair. And he said, well, why didn't they look inside of our churches?
Yeah.
He said they would have found all sorts of women, from the Mother of God, Mary, to the canonized saint, Saint Therese. There's always there's usually a statue of her in every church.
Sure.
To all of these very, very famous women. We've praised them. What his whole point is, he goes on, and it's interesting, the observations that he makes, and I really mean it. If you have a chance to read it, read it.
Right.
But his point is this, and it's a basic point. To get to a new culture or a new anti-culture, what you have to do, and this is right out of the Marxist playbook.
Exactly.
It's right out of the Marxist play. Destroy history.
You got it.
Destroy history.
Yep.
And you know, we would be reading books in high school, in college, 1984, Animal Farm, and you know those books that kind of woke you up as a teenager to start thinking a little bit. But I remember thinking, this is all very interesting, and this is fun, and it's entertaining reading. I think it was the first time that I laughed out loud. While reading. I was 15 or 16. And I read Animal Farm. It was assigned to us. Otherwise, I wouldn't have read it. And when I got to that line in Animal Farm that all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others, right?
Yeah.
Well, I laughed out loud, and I remember stopping and thinking, I said, my gosh, reading can be fun. I'm 15. Not just a task, but I remember thinking, even reading those things, that was ancient history. These were things that would happen in the 1930s, way back in the 1930s. This isn't something that could happen today.
Right.
Of course, I missed the whole point.
You did.
The reason that Orwell and others were writing about these things is that it can be missed today.
Yes.
And we shouldn't let it be missed today. And what they're basically saying is the same old adage, if you will not learn by history, you're condemned to repeat it.
Boy.
All right. And this is what's happening. And this is what Father Rutler points out beautifully. He does it much better than I'm doing it right now.
Father, you did a great job summarizing that article. It's from Crisis Magazine. I think Dr. Ed Mazza is actually calling in right now. I see on my screen. So if maybe the engineer can pick it up, I think he also has, he's a doctor of history. And I think he might have something to say about Father Rutler also. Because he's a good friend.
A pretty good guy, Dr. Mazza. A pretty good guy.
He is. Let me see if I can get him on. Let me know, Dr. Ed, are you on? It's Terry.
By the grace of God, I've just appeared.
All right, okay. Dr. Ed Mazza, you've never met Father Murr, but he has listened to you, and I know we have a mutual appreciation society here, so we respect each other. But Dr. Ed, what did you think of Father George Rutler's article, The Danger of Canceling the Culture? Father Murr's just been given a commentary on it. You're a history PhD. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking exactly along the same lines about the erasure of history and, you know, Animal Farm. And a friend of mine who teaches at a community college in L.A., he had me give a two-hour online live class to his class about defending Junipero Serra against the crazy people that want to tear down his statues, and they're being successful in doing it.
Sure.
And so I was grateful for the opportunity. And what I was most grateful for is the students were so thirsty.
Yes.
When they went for truth.
Yeah, for truth. You nailed it.
They asked me all kind of questions about the church and about what's a sin. And how do we know Jesus is and says he is?
Great.
So in a way, we have to thank our enemies for giving us the opportunity to spread the truth.
You sound like Father Murr. He would say something like that. Dr. Ed, you're also doing some online classes. Can you tell our listeners about that, please?
Yes. By the grace of God, I am very happy to announce that starting in September, I'm going to be offering a 14-week class. Mm-hmm. And if folks want more information about it, they can go to my new website, edmundmazza.com.
Great.
And just give me your name and your email, and I will be in touch with you.
Perfect.
Under the first, I've got a post on the website announcing the courses. There's going to be one church history course probably on Tuesdays and one world history course probably on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
It's so for about an hour and a half each week. We're going to go into, for example, church history. I mean, talk about all the great highlights and things. And it's at a reasonable price, probably around $300.
Sure.
So we need to get about 100 people and to make this work.
Dr. Ed, how do they sign up for that again? Give us the website, please, one more time.
Sure. It's www.edmundmazza.com.
Excellent.
EDMUNDMAZZA.com.
Great. Dr. Ed, thanks for joining in on the conversation with Father Murr on this Father Rutler article. May God bless you, and I wish you the best, my friend.
Dr. Mazza, you're the best.
Yep, thanks so much.
Oh, you guys are.
All right, God love you, brother. Take care. Father Murr, you summarized this article with Father Rutler. You have personal knowledge of Father Rutler, too. And for those who don't know who Father Rutler is, he's written a lot of different books, but how would you summarize Father Rutler? He's an Anglican convert, right, to the Catholic faith. Tell us a little bit more about him, because I think anybody who reads any of his books are going to get a lot of good information.
Yeah, I've read several of his books,
have
and
you?
They're very
so
good, very erudite, very good. What, but I think listening to him, more impactful.
Well, can I jump in and tell you, crisis?
He's a great communicator.
He is.
He's a great
He did a 13-week show for EWTN back in the 90s called Crisis and Culture. Yep. And I have that on audio file. If anybody wants to get that Crisis and Culture series, call 877-526-2151. We'll just make it so it's a link where you can listen to it on an MP3 download. If you want to make a donation, great. If you can't, that's okay too. But these 13 weeks of a show on the culture, outstanding communicator. And I would highly recommend that. Call 877-526-2151. Father Murr, I like to end shows with the five stones of David, but also to talk about living in the state of grace. So we want people to pray the rosary or you're not on Team Jesus. We want people to get to confession at least once a month. We want people to read their Bible every day. Father Murr just helped you do that earlier in the show with commentary. We also want you to fast, right? This is Fridays. This is the day of penance. We can always do some kind of fasting, and if it's not just material or food fasting, go visit the sick, do something where you make a sacrifice, because Our Lady of Fatima said souls are going to hell because no one is there to make sacrifices and to pray for them. So I would encourage all that. And Father Murr, if we could get a priestly blessing, that would be awesome.
You have it, but before we end, sure. I want to remind all of the Catholics who are listening, especially everybody, but especially the Catholics who are told so often that we don't know Scripture.
Yeah, right.
I want to remind all of us.
Sure.
Our entire Mass, from beginning to end, is nothing but Scripture.
Well said.
Okay? It's solid Scripture. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost descend upon you and remain forever. Amen.
Amen. And Father Murr, we've been doing this for a long time, but I love to ask, what state should we be living in?
The state of grace, of course.
Absolutely. And you know what? I don't want you to live in the deep state. No, live in the state of grace. And if it's been a long time since you've been to confession, I always say this to people, go. It's good for the soul. And Father Murr, last thing I want to ask for action items.
You have nothing to lose but your sins.
That's a good line. I need to repeat that. Say that one more time. You have nothing to lose except what?
But your sins.
Hey, here
but
go. Hey, this has been the Terry and Jesse Show with Father Charles Murr. Father Murr, one little plug about your books that you've written. How can people get a hold of some of the books you've written? Can you give a plug for that,
Funny
please?
Funny you should mention that,
Terry. Yeah, you got
Funny
a new one.
You should mention.
Yeah, tell us. Tell us.
Next week, I have two books coming out. Memoirs of an Unwed Father, short stories. They're a lot of fun. And especially the general story is in there. The name of it is General Absolution.
Wow.
And I've got another book coming out, which I stole completely. It's a catechism by Father Ripalda, 430 years ago, Jesuit priest put together a fantastic catechism
in
Spanish. And since I'm helping, visiting and helping a lot of prisoners in our prison system, and a lot of them are losing their Catholic faith, I wrote a book just for them.
Wow. Thank you, Father Murr. And how do they do that? Do they just go to charlesmurr.com?
Go to charlesmurr.com or Amazon.
Oh,
see them there.
Good.
The catechism is called Lo Esencial.
Ah, very good.
Essential.
Thanks again, Father Murr, for joining us on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Thank you, Folks, Terry.
You bet. Thank you, Father. And I want to just thank everybody who's supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We're so blessed to be able to proclaim the teachings of Christ with clarity and charity to all. And if you want to make a donation to become a monthly donor, all you have to do is call 877-526-2151. You'll get lots of good Catholic material mailed to you via downloads every single month. Also, you can go to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org, and listen to all the shows with podcasts. And I will say this, may God richly bless you and your family, and full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests, Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.